ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रीशङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ अखण्डं सच्चिदानन्दम् यु आल् केन् रिपीट् आफ्टर् मी प्लीस् अखण्डं सच्चिदानन्दम् अवाङ् मनसगोचरम् आत्मानमखिलाधारम् आत्मानमखिलाधारम् आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये आश्रये भीष्टसिद्धये अर्थतोऽप्यद्वयानन्दान् अर्थतोऽप्यद्वयानन्दान् अतीतद्वैतभानतः अतीतद्वैतभानतः गुरूनाराध्य वेदान्तसारं वक्ष्ये यथामति गुरूनाराध्य वेदान्तसारं वक्ष्ये यथामति. Okay, these two verses we saw last class. As I said, the first verse, the author Sadananda invokes the grace of Bhagavan, but here the invocation of Bhagavan's grace is in a different form, that he presents his vision of non-duality in this first verse, wherein he sees Bhagavan as his very self. He says, I take refuge in Bhagavan who is my very self. And which Bhagavan here? Bhagavan, as the cause of the entire universe, there will be one who is there as the very substratum of the entire universe, and one who is of the nature of divisionless, partless whole, and one who is of the nature of existence, consciousness, and limitlessness, and whose swarupam is not available for thought perception or word description or sense perception. Avang manasa gocharam. In fact, he sees Bhagavan as absolute reality, Brahma, and he sees that Brahma as his own self, and he says, I take refuge in the absolute reality, Bhagavan the reality, and which is there as my own self, which is of this nature. This is how he presents this. Which means he does not see his real self being non-necessary as different from Bhagavan. The first verse. The second verse, he pays his respects to his teacher, and having offered his pranams, offered salutations to his teacher, he starts the teaching from the third sentence onwards. And you have to remember, this only the invocation is in the prose poetry form. The third line onwards, actually the teaching begins in the prose form only. The whole teaching is in prose form. The textbook is in prose. In the last class, we saw the first sentence only. What the first sentence? Let us read the first sentence now. Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Tad upakarini sharirika sutradini cha. He explains here What is Vedantaha? This also we saw in the last class. We quickly say and let's go ahead today. Vedantaha, the Vedanta, end portion of the Veda, the Vedanta, Vedanta Shastram means, Vedanta Shastram means, Nama means, Upanishad Pramanam. So here, the meaning of the word Upanishad can be, you know, taken two sense, and taken two ways. The word Upanishad means Prama, the knowledge of the reality. The Upanishad also means what? Pramanam, the textbook, the instrument of knowledge. So when we see this Vedanto Nama Upanishad Pramanam, because the very word Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. So, if we take that Ni stands for Nischaya Jnanam, definite knowledge, the Shat stands for destruction, the definite knowledge of this definite, clear, doubt-free knowledge which destroys the ignorance and ignorance born samsara, when attained through the study of the scripture with the help of the teacher. That's what is implied by the word Upanishad. So, Upanishad serves as a pramanam. Okay, Vedanta is a pramanam, instrument of knowledge of the reality, one meaning. Otherwise, here the author means, he does not mean the word Upanishad as the pramanam, he means it as the textbook. He says, Vedanta means Upanishad, the textbook, which is a pramanam, instrument of knowledge. And not only the Upanishad here, he also says, Tad Upakarini. Upakarini, Upakaraha means help, support. Upakarini means supportive texts. Upakarini means supportive other texts also you can take. Upakarini, the auxiliary, supportive, ancillary works. Vedantic works. Not only the Upanishad, the Upakarini supportive includes what? Bhagavad Gita, and also can include Brahma Sutrani. So all the three prasthanatrayam he means. Vedanta means Upanishad, the textbook, which serves as a means of knowledge of the truth. Not only that, other texts such as can include Bhagavad Gita. Then the Sharirika Sutrani, Sutradini, he says. So Sharirakam means what? Sharirakam Sutrani means Brahma Sutrani. Here I want you to understand the Sharirakam means Shariram means body. Shariram means body. So Shariri means the jiva indwelling the body, called Shariri. Shariram means body. Shariri means the indweller of the body, the jiva. One obtains in the body, or one who, the indweller of the body, the jiva is called Shariri. Or one who is endowed with the body is also called Shariri. But here, the other word for Shariri is what? Shariraha. Shariram, body. Shariri, the jiva. Another word for Shariri is Shariraha. Shariraha means jiva. Then, Sharirakka, when you say, the ka is used in an ordinary sense. The ka is a word, the letter, when added to sharira, it means the limitation of the jiva. So sharirakka means the jiva, the limited individual. The ka actually indicates the limitation superimposed on the individual jiva. So sharirakka means the limited individual or the jiva who is looked upon as a limited individual. is Shariraka. Now here, the Sutra, Ani means what now? This Brahma Sutra, the Sutras, the aphorisms, discuss the nature of the individual, limited individual, and that they thereby they reveal the limited individual being identical with Brahma. The sutras which discuss, which reveal the nature of the limited individual jiva being essentially identical with Paramatma or Brahma. Therefore, these aphorisms, sutrani, which discuss, which reveal the essential nature of the limited individual being Brahma, but thereby reveal the nature of the individual being Brahma, are called Shariraka Sutrani. Okay. Adini. Now next you can take next word Adini. So Upakarini Shariraka Sutra Adini. Adini means etc. So not only the Upanishads, but also the other supportive auxiliary texts, Vedanta texts such as Bhagavad Gita and Brahma Sutras, which also reveal the Jiva Swarupam, the nature of the individual being absolute reality, identical with Paramatma. And let's say not only that, also other textbooks which also discuss, present the Vedantic teaching in a nutshell. So this Adini stands for etc. Adini means etc. All these textbooks, all of them also what now? You can say constitute the Vedanta. Not just Vedanta, even though it exactly means Upanishads only. You have to include other textbooks also. Which means he means the three prasthanams. What are they? Shruti prasthanam is equal to Upanishads. When you say Adini, to understand in this manner, Shruti prasthanam Upanishads, Smriti prasthanam Bhagavad Gita, then Nyaya prasthanam Brahma Sutrani or Shariraka Sutrani. These three. So, apart from these three, also other textbooks, other Prakrana Granthas, which also discuss subject matter of the same, these three prasthana trayam. Okay, all of them there. Now he wants to say, and here it may be difficult for you to understand Bhagavad Upanishads. To understand Upanishads, you need to understand the commentary upon Upanishads. To understand Bhagavad Gita, you need commentary upon Bhagavad Gita. To understand the other prakana, even Vimasutrani, you need Bhashyam. We have Upanishad, Bhashyam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhashyam, then Vimasutra, Bhashyam. To understand the three prasthanams, what are they? Shruti prasthanam, Smriti prasthanam, Nyaya prasthanam, you need what? Also, Bhashyam also you need, commentary also you need. There's so much of study. It is very difficult to understand. Therefore, what the author says, the next sentence, don't need to worry. Without studying Shruti, Smriti, Nyaya, Prasthanams, you can understand the essence of the teaching of Vedanta. That's the idea here, okay? You don't need to study Vedanta. What is Vedanta? Upanishad Pramanam. Not only that, Upakarini, Shariraka, Sutradini, Bhagavad Gita, etc. But here, I am presenting in this text Vedanta Sara, essence of the Vedanta. Study of the Vedanta means so many things you have to study. But instead of studying the Vedanta, without breaking your head, the feeling is very difficult to study and all that, you can understand what? Vedanta Sara. This is what is Vedanta. But Vedanta Sara, essence of the Vedantic teaching is given in this textbook, presented in this textbook. That's what he says in the third sentence, okay? Shariraka Sutra Adini means etc. etc. stands for other prakarana granthas also. So Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam. Vedanta means the textbook, Upanishad, which is a means of knowledge. Tad upakarini, and the other, tad upakari means other supportive textbooks, such as what now? Shariraka sutra dinicha, Brahma sutras, etc. The Brahma sutras are called Shariraka sutra ni because they discuss the nature of the individual and reveal the individual's sarupa, nature of the individual being identical with Paramatma. Therefore, Brahma Sutrani are called Shariraka Sutrani. So, you can say Jeevasya Jeevaswarupa Jeevaswarupasya Brahmatva Brahmatvena Pratipadaka Pratipadakani Sutrani. That's the meaning. You understood that anyway. That's okay. That's enough. We'll go to next sentence now. First sentence is very clear, isn't it? Vedanto nama Upanishad pramanam tad upakarini shariraka sutradini cha. Finished. We'll go to next sentence now. Asya Vedanta prakaranatvat tadiyaihi eva anubandhaihi tadvatta siddhehe nate prithak alochaniyaha. Read the sentence, we find it difficult, but very simple. Let me tell you what he says. See, having introduced his text to the third sentence, the very first sentence of the prose, the textbook. Okay, now he says, in this, see any Vedanta, can you see me? Do you all see me? Okay. The problem is when I follow the textbook, it's difficult, I can't see all of you. Okay. See, any Vedantic text, not only Vedantic text, any text has four factors as its integral part. We can't say integral part, let me explain to later on. There are four factors which are there as integral part of the study of the book. And the four factors which have to be understood as the integral part of the book, textbook are called Anubandha Chatushtayam. Anubandha Chatushtayam. Any textbook has what? Something called Anubandha Chatushtayam. Like an appendix. See, Anu means what? Which goes along with. Bandha means the textbook. Anubandha means the four factors which go along with the textbook means what? Which are there as the integral part of the study of any text. Anubandha Chatushtayam. Chatushtayam means a set of four. There is a set of four factors, the integral parts of any text, any textbook, any book for that matter. And here, Vedanta Shastram also has what? This Anubandha Chatushtayam. Any Vedanta text, any Upanishad also has Anubandha Chatushtayam. Any book definitely should have this what? Any book has definitely the Anubandha Chatushtayam. The four factors. And what are they? We'll see. Adhikari means, we'll see elaborately later on. Adhikari means the one who has adhikara is called adhikari. One who has qualifications to study the Vedanta is called adhikari. Then Vishayaha, subject matter of the textbook, the book. Then Sambandaha, you can say, or Prayojanam, the benefit of reading the book, benefit of understanding the content of the book, or the benefit of the knowledge of the book, content of the book. Then Sambandaha means relationship. Relationship between the knowledge and the relationship between knowledge and the end, the result, and also the relationship between the book and the knowledge. We have twofold relationship. We'll see later on all those things. Now understand this much. Adhikari, Vishayaha, Prayojanam, Sambandaha. These are the four factors. We call these four factors as what? They are known as the integral parts of any book. So, Anubandha Chatushtayam. So, this Vedanta Sara happens to be the manual, Veda manual, a treatise, a small textbook presenting the nutshell, the essence of the Vedanta. We need not separately look for some other Anubandha Chatushtayam. Every book should have this Anubandha Chatushtayam. So what is the Anubandha Chatushtayam for this textbook? What are the four factors we need to understand for this book? Same is what? Whatever is the Anubandha Chatushtayam for the Upanishads, the same is the Anubandha Chatushtayam for this textbook also. Why? Because this textbook also presents the essence of the same Vedanta only. Even though it is not the Upanishad, even though it is not the Vimha Sutrani, it is not the Bhagavad Gita, then what is it? This book is also a Vedanta Prakaranam. This book, the content of this textbook also happens to be essence of the Vedantic teaching. The Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same. If the Shastram is different, so the Anubandha Chatushtayam, why do we need to know Anubandha Chatushtayam? We ask, we can tell you here easily, the Anubandha Chatushtayam helps us to distinguish, to differentiate one Shastram from the other. Anubandha Chatushtayam helps us differentiate, distinguish one Shastram from the other. Even though the Veda is one book, the Veda itself consists of two Shastrams. Veda is one book, but within one book, there are two Shastrams. Because why? How do we differentiate that? How can we say there are two Shastrams in one Veda? Karma Kandaha, Jnana Kandaha. Karma Kanda is called Dharma Shastram. Jnana Kandaha is called Moksha Shastram. The two different Shastrams are contained in one textbook called, one book called Veda. And this differentiation of one Shastram from the other is possible because of this difference in Anubandha Chatushtayam. Okay, therefore it's very important to know Anubandha Chatushtayam also. So what he says in this fourth sentence, Asya Vedanta Prakaranatvat, of this text, okay? Asya Vedanta Prakaranatvat means, as this Vedanta Sara is a small treatise, a manual presenting the subject matter of the essence of the Vedanta itself, Vedanta Prakaranatvat, because this textbook enjoys what? The status of being the Vedanta Prakaranam. This book happens to be the Vedanta Prakarana Grantha, Vedanta Prakarana Grantha. The same anubandhas have to be taken here. Tadiyehi eva anubandaihi tadvatta siddehe means the same anubandhas have to be taken here. See, whatever anubandhas are there for the Upanishad, the same anubandhas are also here. Therefore, te prithagna alochaniyaha. You need not know, we don't need to think about different anubandha chatushtayam. Anubandha chatushtayam of the Upanishad is the anubandha chatushtayam of this Prakarana Grantha also. Why? Same content, same textbook. Okay, Vedanta Sara and Upanishad are not two different shastrams. They are the same shastram. It comes under the same category of the same shastram. Therefore, Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same. That's what he says in the fourth sentence. Okay, let us go to the fifth sentence now. Tatra. I'm not translating literally, mainly for the sake of Marco. If only you are there, I will translate every word by word translation I will do. If I translate literal translation, if I make it, will take very long and the others will get bored because they can't follow Sanskrit. Okay? Okay. Now, next. Wherever necessary, definitely I'll do it also. But I have given you the content, okay? What it means, I have said. The fourth sentence says, what does the fourth sentence say? It says, Anubandha Chatushtayam is the same. Now you know definitely Anubandha Chatushtayam helps us to differentiate one Shastram from the other Shastram. Okay, the Shastra, because the subject matter will be, if there's a difference in the subject matter of the Dharma Shastram and the Moksha Shastram, the difference in the benefit also, Prayojanam also, there's a difference in the Adhikari also. Anyway. So, Tatra Anubandho Nama Adhikari Vishaya Sambandha Prayojanani. Now he explains in this fifth sentence, he says, what does the word Anubandha mean? Anubandha is something like an appendix, I said. Here, we may think, Adhikari means the one who is eligible to read, understand the subject matter of the book, a given book, called Adhikari. But Adhikari is not an integral part of the textbook. Adhikari need not, is not integral means what? Not integral part of the book. At the same time, Adhikari is not non-integral part of the book also. Because who is the one who can understand this textbook? Isn't it? You cannot say it is integral part, you cannot say it's a non-integral part, but definitely any book definitely has what? An Adhikari, the person who can read, understand the content of the book, who is eligible to read the content of a given book, understand the given book, thereby benefit from the reading it. It's called Adhikari. Okay. Then Vishayaha. Vishayaha, the subject matter of the book. Then we have Sambandha. Sambandha again, relationship. Relationship between what? Relationship between the knowledge you gain from the study of the book, by studying the book, the knowledge you gain by studying the book, and the benefit of knowledge. Between the knowledge and its benefit, there is a sambandha. And between the textbook and the knowledge you get, there is a sambandha. It's called, now, sadhana sadhya sambandha. Sadhya means the benefit. Sadhana means what? The means. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. For example, the knowledge is the sadhanam and the means moksha is the sadhyam. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. Then you can have what? Pratipadaka pratipadya sambandha. The textbook is the revealer and the knowledge you get is what? The revealed. The revealer revealed sambandha. The revealer, the words of the textbook reveal. And the subject matter, there's knowledge which you gain is what? Revealed. So, revealer revealed sambandha. Pratipadaka pratipadya sambandha. Sadhana sadhya sambandha. So, this is what we hear, the two relationships you understand here. Like that, adhikari, vishayaha, sambandha, then prayojanam. Prayojanam means what? Benefit. Phalam. What is the benefit one has by reading, by understanding the content of the subject matter of the given book? It's called prayojanam. So, adhikari, the eligible, the qualified reader, vishayaha, subject matter, the content of the textbook, sambandha, the relationship, then prayojanam, the benefit of reading the content. This is the prayojanani. So, all these four factors together constitute what? Anubandha chatushtayam, a set of fourfold factors which go along with any textbook, any book. And this anubandha chatushtayam is very important to differentiate one shastram from the other shastram. It doesn't differentiate one textbook from the other textbook. Understand? Now, Upanishad is a different one textbook. Vedanta Sara is another textbook. Textbooks are different, but Vishaya is the same, isn't it? Subject matter is the same. Therefore, we understand very carefully. Vedanta Sara is a different textbook. Any Upanishad is a different textbook. But textbooks are different, but the subject matter is the same. So, Adhikari is the same. Who is the one who can read, understand this? And then what subject matter of these books and what sambandha, the prayojanam, the same. Therefore, the books may be different. The content is the same. The anubandha chatushtayam is the same. They come under the category of one shastram. One shastram only. If the book is the same, but the anubandha chatushtayam is different, then you can say within one book, there can be two shastrams. Got the point now? Okay. So, in keeping with the number of books, you cannot differentiate the shastram. Suppose that 10 Upanishads are there, but 10 textbooks are there, but they all come under one shastram. Why? Because the anubandha chatushtayam is one and the same. Is it clear now? Okay. Now, the next sentence, don't worry, why I didn't elaborate much on this? He himself is going to elaborately discuss each anubandha. Okay. First he takes an adhikari. I didn't elaborately discuss earlier. Okay, now he himself is going to discuss. Adhikari. Who is adhikari? He says, don't get frightened when he reading his definition of adhikari. Okay. Adhikari tu vidhivat adhita veda First he says, Vidhivat Adhita Vedaha. I'm not split the sentence, a long compound. For the sake of understanding, I'm splitting and giving you the meaning. Vidhivat Adhita Veda. Vedaha means the Adhikari, the one who is Adhikari here, the eligible to study the Vedanta Shastram, he says, Pramata. The last word he gives, Pramata. And who is this Adhikari? The Adhikari is the one who has studied the Veda, one who has done the Veda Adhyayanam. It is for the, you see, the traditional, he talks about the traditional sort of the Vedic times. So don't worry, oh, we have not heard the Veda, so we are not Adhikaris. Don't mistake it that way. Those days, they were not exposed to science and studies and all those things. Therefore, we had to talk about like that. So here what he says, Adhita Vidivat Adhita Veda means one who has studied the Veda Shaka, the branch of a given branch of the Veda mantras. One who has studied to chant the Veda mantras, studied the chanting of the Veda mantras, no, in a traditional manner. Vidhivat, in a proper traditional manner, one who has studied the Veda mantras. Only heard the mantras, he not understood the meanings. Then, Veda Anga. Vidivata Adita Veda Vedanga. Vedanga means what are the six auxiliary sciences required to understand the Veda are called the Vedangas. The six Vedangas. Remember all of what, remember all the six, I don't know why you remember. Long ago I told you, and when I did last time, six Vedangas are, no, Siksha, Kalpaha, Chandas, Niruktam, Siksha, Kalpaha, Chandas, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Siksha, Kalpaha, Chandas, Vyakaranam,
Jyotisha.
Yeah. Niruktam, Vyakaranam, Jyotisham. Okay, the six word auxiliary sciences. So, the one who has studied the at least one shaka of his, the branch of the Veda, Veda mantras, then also six auxiliary sciences, this person, then, apatataha, even though he studied only these things, apatataha means what? Generally, adigata akila vedartaha. One who has got this general understanding of the entire Veda. Akila vedartha means Vedanta, meaning one who has got the general understanding of the Vedanta also. Akhila Vedartha means not only the karma upasana kandas, not only the Vedangas, but who has also understood the essence of the Vedantic teaching also. Not in detail, but generally. Has some general knowledge. How apatataha means what now? Apatataha adigata Akhila Vedartha means the one one who has also understood the Vedantic meaning also generally. Not very clearly and deeply, but one has got some general understanding of the Vedanta Shastram also. That person, he says, Janmani Janmantareva. See what we have to understand, when somebody studies Veda, Vedanga, etc., this, even though he has got scholarship in all of them, even he studied also, it is not possible for one to become inclined for the study of the Vedanta Shastra. Therefore, naturally, one must have studied, one must have done the karma, one must have performed the ritual, must have got married, entered the family life, grihastha ashrama, householder's life. Then having had children and then having raised them and going through life's experiences and becomes mature. Then naturally he becomes meditative, slowly withdraws. Then finally one goes through sannyasa. Then he becomes totally inclined for Vedanta study. Then he studies Vedanta Shastra. This is what generally happens. But here he talks about, there are also some people exceptional cases. What of apatataha adigata akila vedartaha. Somehow, because a person has a general understanding of the Vedanta. How is it possible for somebody to get that general understanding? Purely because of one's past lives. One must have put in some efforts in his past life. He says that asmin janmani, either in this life, janmantareva, or in his previous lives. Either in this life or in one's previous life, janmantare, or in some other life at least. This person must have really worked for it. See, who is the one who can become, inclined for the study of the Vedanta? Who is the adhikari here? Adhikari is the one who has inclination, one who is inclined to study the Vedanta Shastra, one who becomes committed to the study of the Vedanta Shastra, and for which he must have at least studied what? At least some Veda mantras, he must have done the Veda adhyayanam. He must have studied the Veda mantras. Even if he does not know the meaning, he must have been given to the discipline of memorizing the mantras. He must study the Veda angas. And then somehow he must have got what? The general understanding of, overall understanding of the entire Vedanta Shastram also. But how is it possible otherwise? Now he says, either in this janma or in any other janma, janmani, asmin janmani, janmantareva, one must have worked to prepare his mind to become qualified for this knowledge. That means to become inclined for the study of the Shastram also, one must have had some preparation. Even inclination to study the Vedanta Shastram requires some preparedness. Then once you study the Vedanta Shastram, to understand, but the knowledge should take place also, you need again qualification, isn't it? He says, how does that person become inclined for the study of the Vedanta Shastram? He says, asmin janmani janmantreva, in this life or in some other janma, he must have done. What all he must have done? He says, kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram. Nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasana anushtanena. Nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasana anushtanena. What all he must have done in his previous life, some other life, some life? He must have done nitya karma. See, don't worry, he's going to explain everything. What is nitya karma? We'll see all the meanings. He must have performed nitya karma. Nitya karma means compulsory duties. Okay, non-optional, ought to be done, compulsory duties are called nitya karmani. Then naimittika karmani means the actions, the duties which are to be performed occasionally. Occasionally performed duties. Naimittika karmani. Then prayaschitta karmani. Okay, prayaschitta karmani. Certain karmas, rituals are performed for neutralizing the papas, prayaschitta karmani. Then upasanam. Just learn the Sanskrit terms now. We'll learn the English meaning later on. Okay. Nitya karmani,
நைமித்திக கர்மாணி, பிராயஷ்சித்த கர்மாணி, தென் உபாசனம், த பிராக்டிஸ் ஆஃப் மெடிடேஷன், அனுஷ்டானேன, அனுஷ்டானம் பை ஃபாலோயிங், பை ஃபாலோயிங் தீஸ் ஃபோர் டைப்ஸ் ஆஃப் கர்மா. வாட் ஆர் தே? நித்திய கர்மா, நைமித்திக கர்மா, பிராயஷ்சித்த கர்மா, தென் உபாசன, உபாசனம். All, you must have done all these things. How? To exclusion of, one must have practiced, done these four types of karma, excluding what? Kamya Nishiddha Varjana Purasaram. Avoiding the Kamya karmas, avoiding the Nishiddha karmas. Kamya karma means the actions performed for fulfilling one's desires. Actions for avoiding the actions performed for fulfillment of one's desires, for avoiding the prohibited actions. Kamya karmani means the actions performed for the fulfillment of, for fulfilling one's desires. Kamya karmani. Nishiddha karmani means the prohibited actions. This person must have avoided two types of actions, must have done four types of actions. What he must have avoided? Definitely in this life or in some other life, in any other life, he must have done nitya karma, naimittikam karma, prayaschitta karma, upasana karma. But he must have avoided kamya karma and Nishiddha karma. Nishiddha karmani, prohibited actions. Kamya karmani, the actions performed for fulfilling one's desires. This he must have avoided. He might have avoided. Avoiding them, he would have done what? Nitya karma, compulsory duties. Naimittikam karma, the karmas performed occasionally. Prayaschitta karma, the special prayed karmas done for neutralizing one's punya, papams, old sins. Then upasanam, the practice of meditation. Okay, he must have done certain things, he must have avoided certain things when in his some life or the other. Even if we do not see the person doing this in this janma, definitely one must have done. See, this is what is the proof for us to understand. People come and ask us, we didn't see Ramana Maharshi going to school, Paramahamsa going to school, they never studied Vedanta. How did they become jnanis? How did they attain jnanam? So we also don't need to go study Vedanta. Study is an intellectual exercise. We don't need. Just practice, attain jnanam. Just practice is enough. Practicing meditation is enough. Practice meditation. Meditate, meditate, meditate. Okay? And then you attain everything. You don't need to study Shastram. Meditate, don't study. Meditate, don't study. Why? Studying scriptures, studying books after books is an intellectual exercise. For them, meditation is the only way. Why they hold on to this view? Because they also give the example what they quote. Ramana Maharshi never studied. And then they also quote so many other people, Mahatma's names. But they all never studied. And this is where Shastram says, it is not that they never studied. Whoever has attained jnanam without studying the Shastram is exceptional rules. They must have worked for that in their previous lives. They must have studied in some janma or the other. That is what we say. Okay? Vedanta says. So here also it says what now in this sentence, the sixth sentence, Vedanta Sara says, one must have really prepared oneself in the previous lives. Even for one to become inclined for studying the Vedanta Shastram, to pick up that inclination also, one must have done what? One must have done the Punya Karma. One must have avoided the papa karma. What is the papa karma? One must have, to the exclusion of kamya nishiddha karmas, One must have done this Nitya Naimittika Prayaschitta Upasana Karmas. Then, not only that, thereby what happens when a person performs Nitya Naimittika Karma, practice of meditation and avoids the prohibited actions, as a result of which he becomes free from what? All the papams, kalmashams. Nirgata nikila kalmashata, kalmashataya. So having become the one who is free from all forms of sins, having got all his sins wiped away or washed off, nirgata nikila kalmashaha, kalmashataya. So nirgata nikila kalmashataya means what now? Having become the one from whom all the sins, all the, you know, the impurities have got washed off or wiped away. How did he get his sin, impurities washed off? Because of this anushtanena, by doing all these things. How did he do it? Avoiding the nishiddha karma, prohibited actions, avoiding the kamya karmas, avoiding nishiddha karma, performing all these compulsory duties, etc. He becomes free from impurities. And having become free from impurities, there will be what happens now. He becomes absolutely prepared minded. And absolutely prepared minded means what? Nitanta nirmala swantaha. Nitanta nirmala swantaha. Nitanta means very highly. Nirmala swantaha. When he becomes internally absolutely pure person. Here, relatively, he becomes much pure-minded person. Okay. Nitanta nirmala swantaha. When a person becomes highly, relatively pure-minded person. Antaha. So, antaha means antakaranaha. He becomes the one who is relatively pure-minded. He becomes what? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. He becomes the one who is qualified with fourfold qualifications. One who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha bhavati pramata. See, when you study this, here I am going to do one thing hereafter. I am going to help you simultaneously compare the Tattva Bodha's view also here. I'm going to make the study of Vedanta Sara as a you can compare this with the Tattva Bodha view also. Tattva Bodha, very simple. What does he say? Adhikari kaha, who adhikari, the question asked. No, sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. Adhikari is the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications. Finished. Adhikari is the one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications. That is the definition given Tattva Bodha. Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. It's a definition of adhikari. But here what does he say? Sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha pramata is adhikari. Pramata, the one who wants to know. Pramata here is who? The one, the knower. The one who is inclined to know the content of, know the truth is called pramata here. And the one who wants to know, one who is inclined to know the truth, this person is the one who is endowed with the fourfold qualifications, which means he becomes endowed, he is the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications, means he is also internally, what now? Nitanta nirmala swanta, is absolutely, he is, what now? Relatively pure-minded, is highly pure-minded, is eligible for studying the Shastram. And how does he become mentally, relatively pure-minded? How does he become endowed with the one, or become the one who is endowed with fourfold qualifications? Because he has got all his sins washed off, impurities washed off. How did he get his impurities washed off? Because of his anushtanam. Because he was following strictly these disciplines. What disciplines? He was strictly following disciplines means he was practicing meditation, he was doing prayaschitta karma, he was doing naimittikam karma, he was doing nitya karma, but he consciously avoided prohibited actions, he avoided kamya karmas. So two types of karma he avoided and four types of karma he did, as a result of which he did a long time, not overnight. He must have done for a long time, as a result of which he got his sins, impurities washed off. Thereby he becomes mentally relatively pure minded. Thereby he is the one who is attended with fourfold qualifications. There, this Pramata is the Adhikari. When did he do this now? Asmin Janmani Janmantareva, either in this Janma and some other Janma. This Adhikari. Now the question comes, we will ask what now? Oh, what does the Kamya Karma mean? What does the Nishiddha Karma mean? We will ask the question. Now each word, he himself is going to define, explain very carefully, very beautifully here. Let us read the sentence for sixth sentence now. Adhikari tu vidhivate adhita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata akila vedartaha asmin janmani janmantareva kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram nitya naimittika prayaschitta upasana anushtanena nirgata nikhila kalmashataya nirgata nikhila kalmashataya nitanta nirmala swantaha sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha pramata. Now we have to compare here. Tattvabodha, in Tattvabodha adhikari kaha sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha adhikari. Simple definition. And here Sadananda gives a long definition. Okay, pramata sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha pramata. Who is the one who has chatushtaya sampannaha pramata? He says vidivate adhita veda vedangatvena apatataha adhigata adhigata akila vedartaha asmin janmani janmantareva kamya nishiddha varjana purasaram. Varjana means what? Devoid of. Okay, giving up those two by doing all those things. Such a person alone, see, nirgata nikhila kalmashata, kalmashataya. So having attained the status of being the one who has got all his impurities washed away, this person, as a clean, pure minded, becomes the one who is ended with fourfold qualifications. Such a person is called Adhikari. Now we'll have doubts. Oh my God, he has avoided twofold karma. What are those karma he has avoided? Kamyani. Kamya Nishiddha. He mentioned two karmas. What does the Kamya karma means? What? Nishiddha karma means what? He's going to say that. The seventh sentence. Please, the seventh sentence, he says, Kamya Karmani. What do you mean by saying Kamya Karmani? He says, Kamyani. Are you following the book? Kamyani. Swargadi. Ishta Sadhanani. Jyotishtomadini. Okay. He gives example for everything. He says, Ishta Sadhanani. Kamyani means Kamya Karmani. Kamya Karmani means the rituals or actions performed for as a means of fulfilling one's personal desires. So, Kamyani means Kamya Karmani. Kamya Karmani means what? Rituals or actions performed for fulfilling one's personal desires. In terms of what? Even attainment of heaven. Swargadi means what now? Swarga means attainment of heaven, etc. And then what is the performance of? There is a particular ritual called Jyotishtomaha. Jyotishtomaha means the name of a particular ritual. There are people who perform the rituals such as Jyotishtomaha. And why do they perform? Because they want to, they have the personal wish, desire to go performance of any action or all the actions or rituals for fulfilling one's own personal desires and wishes. Called Kamya Karma. Okay. You want a simple example, they only give all Vedic examples. You know, somebody goes all the way, goes to the office, spend the money, buy the ticket, comes back, you know, and then they go travel all the way. Why do they go? All the way they go to some Singapore. Why? They thought to buy some gold because there's a world trade fair and they want to go and buy. And they go, I mean, what? Nothing wrong. It's mainly for one's own. Fulfilling one's own personal desires. Not Kamya Karmani. Then, next. Nishiddhani. Now, Nishiddha Karma means what? He says, Nishiddhani means Narakadi Anishta Sadhanani. Narakadi Anishta Sadhanani Brahmana Hananadini. Nishiddhani means what now? The prohibited actions when performed becomes means of attainment of hell, etc. Okay. When people, hell means what? Undesirable. The prohibited actions are those actions which when performed result in attainment of undesirable results. Okay, attainment of the prohibited actions are those actions when performed result in attainment of undesirable ends. And such as what? Brahmana Hananani, killing a Brahmana, etc. Not only Brahmana, killing any being is a Papa Karma, isn't it? Papa Karma. So, what prohibited actions means what? Prohibited actions are actions which make one transgress the universal values. Any action performed transgressing the universal values is what? Nishiddha Karma. Including telling lies, etc. But here, Brahmana Hananam means what? Killing a Brahmana. Not only Brahmana, killing any living being also. Killing, hitting, all those things that causing pain, any himsa, any action involving any hurt, wound, offense is what? Offensive actions, they're all prohibited actions. Why? Because those actions become means of attainment of hell or undesirable pain, etc. Well, nishiddhani, narakadi anishta sadhanani, those actions which serve as means of attainment of hell, such as killing the brahmana, etc. They are called nishiddha karma. You know, I don't need to do too much, but you know that very well. Nishiddhani, nishiddha karmani. The next, he says, these two are to be avoided. So, to be avoided actions are kamyani, nishiddhani. Now, we'll go to the next one. To be performed, okay, actions are what? The compulsory duties, nityani. What do you mean by saying compulsory duties? What are the nitya karmani or nityani karmani? He says, akarane pratyavaya sadhanani. Yes, sadhanani. See, then these compulsory duties are those which if they are not performed, they produce what? Pratyavaya dosha. They produce a sin called pratyavaya. Pratyavaya dosha. Pratyavaya will explain, is going to explain later on, okay? The compulsory duties are those which produce the pratyavaya dosha. Okay, ill effect called pratyavaya when they are not performed. For example, suppose he says, Sandhya Vandanani. Sandhya Vandanam is a name, you know, the worship. A compulsory worship to be performed 3 times of the day in the meeting times, 3 meeting points of the day, dawn, noon and dusk. Dawn, early morning, okay, night and day, early morning meeting, then noon, the forenoon, afternoon, the meeting point, again dusk, evening and night meeting, isn't it? Dusk. So, 3 times a day, Sandhya called Sandhya Vandanam. Sandhya means what? The meeting point, meeting time. So dawn, noon, and dusk. So Sandhya Vandana means worship. Worship to be performed 3 times a day during dawn, noon, and dusk. And suppose if you don't, it's only example he gives like that. Nitya karmani means the compulsory duties. Who prescribes compulsory duties? Veda says these things one should do. So nityanik compulsory duties, if they are not performed, they result in definitely some ill effect called pratyavaya. They called nityani. So kamyani, nishiddhani, nityani. Kamya karma. What is kamya karma? What is nishiddha karma? What is nitya karma? We have understood now. Then naimittikani. What does the word naimittika means? Naimittika means not compulsory, not regularly done, everyday done, but they are not, we can say optional, but occasional. Occasional, okay? They had been done, occasionally done karmas. Not every nityam, like every day. Here, putra janmadi anubandhini jateshtyadini. See, when the child is born, there is called something called Jateshti. Jateshti is the name of a ritual. Jateshti is the name of the ritual. Ishti means puja, worship. Jata means birth. Jateshti means the ritual performed at the time of a birth of a child. The child is born, and when the child is brought home, after delivery, when the mother and child are okay, immediately supposed to do one puja, okay, perform a ritual. It's called Jateshti. putra janmadi anubandini. The rituals as perform and regard ritual performed at the time of death, the rebirth, or regard rituals you performed pertaining to the birth of a child. So rituals pertaining to the birth of the child performed after the time of the birth of a child. So that you don't do every day. Only okay when the child is born. Suppose the 2-3 children are born, and then occasionally you do that once in a while. Okay, that's all, not every day. So occasionally performed rituals are called naimittikani. Now so sraddham, pitru karma, the ancestral worship also what now? Every day you don't need to do, at least once in a year. The death day comes. The person who departed, for the departed souls, we think of them, we do something. At least once in a year, we remember them. So occasionally performed prayers and worship, etc. We say naimittikani karmani. Then, okay, prayas chittani karmani means, he says, papakshaya sadhanani chandrayanani chandrayanadini. See, chandrayanam is a name of a particular ritual. Chandrayanam, the name of a particular discipline. I'll explain that to you later on. And the chandrayanam, the name of a particular discipline, and to be followed. Not only one, there's so many are like that. There's so many special rituals are there, disciplines are there. They had to be followed for what? Papakshaya sadhanani. They serve as means of neutralizing your old sins. You must have done, already unknowingly done some papa karma. Then you cannot undo the papa karma. You have done. Done means done. You have the papa. But you have to do something good to neutralize that. Therefore, the special worships and prayers done to eliminate the unknowingly done, the results of the unknowingly done papa karmas. Unknowingly or knowingly, papa karmas you already done. Now you do some present prayers, you neutralize the old karma. Sometimes we will tell people, no? Okay, you have some papam, when people have come and tell us, oh my God, I go through lot of problems in my life, one after the other, what to do? They say, it's what now? Some papa karma result only is coming now. Okay, as a result, we say, okay, do this japam for 48 days. Do this for these 15 days. Especially you do, it won't be enough. But sometimes specially we do some prayers and worship, perform rituals to neutralize the old sins. It's called prayaschitta karma, papakshaya sadhanani. So the rituals performed or actions performed to neutralize or to reduce the ill effects of the wrong actions. To neutralize the sins. Prayaschittani. Then upasanani. What would upasana means? Upasana means, very beautiful definition he is giving. Upasanani, meditations. Saguna Brahma Vishaya, Manasa Vyaparani, Vyapara Rupani, Shandilya Vidyadini. The Shandilya Vidya is one of the forms of meditation. You don't need to practice that. Just the example he gives. Shandilya Vidya is one of the names of the meditations. One of the many meditations prescribed in the Karmaka, Upasana Kanda. Shandilya Vidya is one of the many meditations. Okay. So, here, Saguna Brahma Vishya Manasa Vyapara Rupani. So meditation is a mental activity. Manasa Vyaparaha means what? Manasa Vyaparaha means mental activity. Vyaparaha means activity. Manasa Vyaparaha means mental activity. Meditation is a mental activity wherein physical body or speech are not involved, and for which the object of that mental activity, object of the focus is definitely Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. Okay. Upasanam is a mental activity, a meditation, for which the object of meditation is only Bhagavan or Ishwaraha Sagunam Brahma. Simple, if you want to know simply, meditation upon Ishwara, the Lord. So focusing one's attention on anything which stands for Ishwara for a length of time is called meditation, upasana. Focusing one's attention on anything which symbolizes, which stands for Bhagavan for length of time is called what? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. You cannot meditate upon Ishwara directly because Ishwara is the whole. Ishwara, Bhagavan, Sagunam Brahma happens to be inclusive of the meditator you. You, the meditator, happen to be part of the Bhagavan, the whole. You can never meditate upon Bhagavan directly. If you say, I meditate upon Bhagavan, means what? You are included in the Bhagavan. How can, therefore, you always have an alambanam. Therefore, Saguna Brahma means what? Now, you don't meditate upon Nirguna Brahma, Saguna Brahma. So, meditation is a mental activity wherein one focuses one's attention on anything which is symbolizing, which stands for Bhagavan, the whole, for length of time. It's called Saguna Brahma Vishya Manasa Vyaparaha. And this meditation upon Ishwara also helps on what? Helps one prepare one's mind for Jnanam. Okay. I'm not going to go to the next one. We have done only 12 sentences, we have completed. Okay, 12 sentences we have completed. You know Upasana means what? Prayaschittam means what? Naimittika means what? You know all this. We are still in the Pramata. We are still in the Adhikari. Okay? We have not yet gone to the Vishayaha. We are understanding the Adhikari. Who is Adhikari? One who performs the, one who avoids the Kamya Karmani and Nishiddha Karmani, and one who performs the Nitya Karmani, Naimittika Karmani, Prayaschitta Karmani, Upasanani, he is the one who becomes mentally, who gets his impurities cleansed. And one who gets his impurities cleansed alone becomes what? Mentally relatively pure. Thereby he alone becomes qualified with the fourfold qualifications. Thereby he alone is what? Adhikari. Who is Adhikari? That says, now only we understand the karmas. Definitely Adhikari is the one who avoids prohibited actions. Definitely Adhikari is the one who avoids what? Also, no, too many the Kamya Karmani. Adhikari is the one who performs Nitya Karma, Naimittikam Karma, Prayaschitta Karma and Upasana. So he says all this. But we have substitute for everything. Don't worry, Marco. Okay. Oh my God, I am not Vidivate Adhita Vedaha. I am not Vidivata Adhita Vedangaha. Don't worry about all those things. That is why we have substitute. Okay. It only said how traditional is this talking about the traditional, the student. Okay. So we are living in a different world. We should not take it seriously about it. And the very present inclination is what itself is what now? Because of some punyam. Janmani, asmin janmani, janmantreva, in some janma, somewhere you all have done a lot of good punyam, because of which you are inclined to study Vedanta. Okay. Today I'm sorry, I have lot, my lips are completely broken, I can't open. Lot of pain, a disturbance. I had to really, I'm okay, but my lips, the problems. Already I speak very fast, and then today I couldn't speak so slowly. Was it okay? Any doubts? Any doubts? Very simple lesson, that's why I was a little fast also, isn't it? One thing you have to remember, Anubandha Chatushtayam helps us differentiate the one Shastram from the other Shastram. The subject matter differs, then there are two different Shastrams. Subject matter is the same, even the many books are there, they all come under one Shastram. That you should remember. But we are going to see every Anubandha, no? The factor we are going to see elaborately. No doubts?
What simple question.
Yes?
You say naimittika karma as avoiding prohibited actions.
No. Pratishiddha karma. Naimittika karma, I said, occasionally performed.
Oh, nishiddha karma, sorry. Nishiddha karma.
See, nishiddha karma, pratishiddha karma mean the same.
And you describe this nishiddha karma as the breaking the universal values, right? As you, like value of values.
Yeah, prohibited. Don'ts.
So my question is, we today the way the teaching is unfolded, we you always describe these actions as breaking the, not following the universal values, right? But in traditional texts, when we read them, we realize there are so many minutiae rules for things to avoid. Not only moral values, but also polluting things, the concept of pollution. Do you understand what I mean? It's not only values, doing what to the others, what we expect them to do to us. This is one element. But in the traditional texts, like Manu Shastram and others, we see a lot of other things. What's the context for these things?
No. See, whatever, I tell you, Manu Shastram only elaborates on, I tell you, whatever Manu is a Smriti. Smriti cannot say what is not said in the Veda. Okay? Sometimes Smriti elaborates what is said in the Veda. Basically, whatever it says is going against the values. So polluting also, whether you knowing or unknowingly, living an eco-friendly life, you talk about. Eco-friendly life, you mean it, no? Of course.
I'm sorry. When I say polluting, I'm using just a word in the context of the Vedic literature, not the word you use today. Polluting, like, I think in one of the classes you gave a hint of what would be today. So you said, when we wake up in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, the bed is considered not polluted, but a symbol of death. So we don't want to touch bed after we wake up.
No, that's a discipline. That's a discipline. See. No, don't take it. That is not prohibited. That's a discipline. Okay. Discipline is different from, when I say prohibited means you should not do at all. That's a discipline. That's a different thing. See, this here, You should not do means because it's the pain, not causing any pain, not hurting, not causing injury, isn't it? Or not offending. So when I say a prohibited action means actions which make you go against the dharma, which make you transgress the values, are the prohibited actions. Here. There, prohibited means, I don't talk about all of those disciplines and all that. There we teach the value of everything. Why you don't do this? Well, get up early in the morning. Means it is a, what is good for you? That's the, there it's, if you get up very late in the night, in the morning, it is not something, good. Don't go against values, isn't it? It's not a value. But still you know the value of it, you get up. What is good? Prohibited actions, also certain things Veda prescribes. Prohibited mainly means not avoiding actions which are against dharma. Mainly that's all we say. But these things come under disciplines. There's not an action here. We prohibited means definitely, pratishiddha prohibited means not avoiding any action which is against dharma. Consciously avoiding it. That comes from disciplines. Anything else? Okay, because we started the text anyway. Actually, I was thinking almost from starting to redoing the text after 3 years, almost 2.5 years. What a big thing, isn't it? We're continuing, so we should do it properly. So, try to do it. If I read the whole text again, it's good, isn't it? Unfortunately, I did not translate it literally because lots of nouns are used. For example, we came across a sentence, the noun forms are used. I had to use different words. This is Sanskrit style I'm using. It's a long compound, you know, that one Adhikari Kaha, his own long compound, he produced it. Long compound. And I have stopped everywhere, you know. Adhigata Veda Vedangaha. Adhigata Veda Vedangaha. Means, the person who has studied Adhigata Veda Vedangatvena, it says. Not Veda Vedangaha, it doesn't say. Vedangatva, he says. Which means, one who enjoys the status of being, you know, endowed with the qualification of the Veda and Vedangas. So, a lot of noun forms. So, I didn't want to take it too literally, I didn't translate it. I can translate it. If I translate, then mentally I was translating it. I didn't want to do that. I only gave the gist of the, we read the text, you know all the things, meanings actually. So generally, if you read this unfoldment, you may get scared, oh my God, one must study Veda, Vedanga, and then, then that we may think, you know, only then apatataha, he gets the general knowledge of the entire Veda, including Vedanta. And this general knowledge, definitely Vedanta Artha, Upanishad Artha, meaning of Vedanta, definitely one cannot have it. One has to really go through. At least this Purusharth Nischaya comes. Even for a person to have Purusharth Nischaya, one must have done a lot of Punyam, I tell you. Purushartha Nischaya is not there. This is amazing thing, I tell you. I can always agree. I have to remember Swamiji. Nobody ever taught this. People take so many discussions, discuss so many Upanishads, discuss Bhagavad Gita, discuss that, and so many papers submit. They do all these things. Really, Purushartha Nischaya is not all made very clear. Because very scholarly, you know, very... You can see that they present papers and all those things and just, they are very exhibition of one's scholarship. there is no spiritual pursuit there. That is the difference between studying the Shastram with the help of Sannyasi and a professor in the university. Same Aditya Vedanta, you can go and study the university also. No university professor who teaches Aditya Vedanta, coming in coats and suit and then thing. Even our David is laughing here. He comes well dressed and he comes to the class and he teaches Aditya Vedanta as the professor of Aditya Vedanta. And he can explain and he can give lectures and all that. But still, the Purushartha is not there, isn't it? It's not for a spiritual pursuit. So without the Purushartha Nischaya, if you study Vedanta, it is a mere academic pursuit. It is for intellectual pleasure. The Purushartha Nischaya is there. It is not for academic pursuit. It's not an academic pursuit. It is not for intellectual pleasure. It is for the moksha, the spiritual pursuit. Isn't it? It's a big difference. That's why we otherwise, adhikartha, how will one have? That's what he means to say. Asmin janmani janmantareva. One must have done what? He must have avoided, definitely, this person would have avoided prohibited actions. He would have refrained from prohibited actions. He would have definitely avoided even the kama karmas. And he must have consciously done nitya karma, naimitya karma, prayashchitta karma, etc. And this, he must have lived a consciously alert, disciplined life. As a result of which he would have got all his, the sins washed off. Impurities washed off. Impurities washed off means what? He would have relatively neutralized the impurities. Resolved them. Maybe you would have had a lot, you would have been a highly, very, very jealous person before. Now you are not that jealous. You are relatively much less jealous person now. You have a lot of hatred before. The degree of hatred you had before must have become much less now. This is how I'm talking about. The highly gross-minded person must have become much subtler-minded. The subtleness of mind, grossness of mind must be measured in terms of the degree of the impurities one entertains, one has. Now that you want to have impurities, the kama, krodha, lobha, moha, the hatred, the anger, jealousy, etc. you'd have had before. Now also you have. The previous janma you'd have had lot more. Now, because now you're little slightly refined. So every janma you become more and more refined. In fact, every birth you're born, there's a slight refinement. Slow refinement is there. The more and more you become refined. You'd have been a completely raw-headed once upon a time. In many janmas, you become refined and refined and refined and refined. The refinement has come to that extent that you are inclined for Vedantic study. And the refinement should culminate in what absolute refinement is when? In jnanam. Jnanam is absolute refinement. In every janma, selective refinement. You become more refined, more refined, more cultured, more civilized, more civilized, more cultured, more refined in every janma. Bahunam janmanam ante. After many janma who attains me, Krishna says in Gita. How? In every janma he becomes refined. He grew. So that's what he means here. And of that refinement, what is what now? Having one's impurities wiped away. Having one's impurities washed off. Having oneself, getting cleansed of his impurities. Which means, relatively, he becomes much cleaner person. Mental refinement, he talks about. How, that's why karma, what we do, what we talk, and what is upasanam, everything we do as enjoined by the Veda, Because Veda says, do this, don't do this. We avoid what Veda says. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.